Well, good morning, friends, and welcome to Monday morning's edition of Good Morning Live. I want to welcome you and thank you so much for joining me today. So this week, we are going to be diving into a whole new topic on discerning how we maintain our stance in righteousness, right? In righteousness. So we'll get into that in just a minute, but I want to invite you to not only view and be a part of this live stream, but what we call being a digital missionary, which means sharing, commenting, liking, subscribing, depending on what platform you are watching this on. You know, every day, people from all around the world get to tune in through, obviously, our social media platforms, but also the Pioneer Channel, and be a part of these online devotions and online teachings together. So I just encourage you, build this online community, comment, like, subscribe, let us know where you're watching from, and it'll be amazing to be able to see where God's reaching through all of this. Amen. All right. Well, I hope you had an amazing weekend. We had a wonderful service yesterday at Hope City Church, our worship ministry. Tore it up yesterday. God was moving in the place, and we opened kind of a mini message series, if you will, talking about making decisions and the importance of making right decisions. And what I loved about that, and I didn't quite get to where I wanted to get to in the sermon yesterday, I'll finish it up here. How about that? But is when you realize that you have the power to make decisions to build your future. It means you're unstoppable, right? Like with God on our side, we can make better decisions, and with his empowerment, man, nothing is impossible. Like you want more of God, make a decision to seek him more. You want more of his presence, make a decision to wait on his presence. So if you weren't at service yesterday, go back, watch the live stream of that, and it'll bless your life. Also, we want to remind you this upcoming Sunday, we're calling it The Moment, where we are going to unwrap some changes that are happening here at Hope City Church and what that's going to look like for us moving forward. So I know you're going to want to be a part of that. So if you are able to be in the building this upcoming Sunday, please do so, because you won't want to miss what God's doing. All right, well, let's jump into the Word of God today. As I said, I want to talk to you this week about maintaining your righteous stance. And some of you might be like, well, what do you mean maintaining my righteous stance? Well, I believe one of our assignments this week, anyway, is to expose the enemy's plan to sabotage your identity. And I believe he tries to do that through bringing shame and guilt and condemnation. Your Bible would declare to you that you are established on an unshakable foundation in righteousness. So righteousness. So the strategy of the enemy is to shake your foundation being rooted in righteousness. So today we're going to look at that and how we maintain that righteous stance. So what you have to know is we are in a fight for your identity. You're not just in a fight for your future, as we talked about yesterday at Hope City Church, that fight for our future, making better decisions. You're also in a fight for your identity. So I want to read to you what Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says. It says, "For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ." Why? Because it is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. This good news tells us how God makes us right. And here's what I want you to see: how God makes us right in his sight. So this good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. I love that he said, "I am not ashamed of this good news." Paul boldly declares that he is not ashamed of the gospel. And even though, you know, if you follow Paul's life, it would make him a target. It would make him be misunderstood. It would cause him to be persecuted. He boldly declares, right? He boldly declares that I am not ashamed of this gospel. So I want to expose this weapon of the enemy, because Paul also declared in that verse of scripture that makes us right in the eyes of God. So I believe that Satan has some missiles that he likes to target the church, target believers. I think the top three of those would be, number one, shame. He tries to make your identity come in alignment with what you did. Shame is when your identity is attached to what you did. Come on, how many of you know you are not what you did? In the eyes of God, you are not what you did, right? You stand in righteousness. Another one would be guilt, which keeps you locked in the regret and performance-based thinking. Well, God can't love me because of what I did. God can't accept me or use me because of what I did. So there's a missile of guilt that he tries to use against the people of God. And number three, condemnation makes you believe that you're no longer worthy of closeness with God. Well, because of, you know, what I did, because of who I was, because of those past mistakes, well, now I'm no longer worthy to be close to God. Why would God want to be close to somebody like me, right? And all three of these missiles are designed to detach or derail you, if you will, from your identity as the righteousness of God. Come on, somebody just needs to say that at home right now. I am the righteousness of God. I am not what I did. I am not what I was, but I am the righteousness of God. Here's what I discovered, is that the devil's not after your car, right? He's not after your house. He's not after your job. What he's after is your stance in righteousness. Now, listen, according to the Bible, he cannot move you out of your right standing with God. But what he can do is he can convince you that you're not in right standing with God. And now, he might use your house, your job, your car to do what? Cause all kind of chaos, or, you know, make you feel like a failure. You lost your house, or you lost your car, or you got laid off from your job, and now you're, you know, in a place of thinking, well, God doesn't love me because look at all these other things, and to get you to doubt your right standing with God. Like, have you ever been in a situation where somebody said, hey, you know, so-and-so said this about you, and I don't know that they are what you think they are to you, right? And you kind of just think on that, process that, if you will, like in your mind, you're just going like, well, maybe they're not really a true friend. Maybe I misread this whole situation wrong. And suddenly you begin to doubt your relationship with that other person, only to go to that person and say, hey, here's what was said or what happened. And it was like a total misunderstanding, or the third party was just trying to cause a division in there somewhere, right? But you had to go back to the source and say, hey, where are we at with this? Where are we at relationally, right? And that's what the enemy tries to do. He tries to come in through circumstances, through guilt, through shame, to get you to doubt your right standing with God. I've said this before, but I believe that one of his strategies, even to getting people to sin, because how many of you know this? Usually right after, like the Satan's like right there, crouching at the door, the Bible says, you know, trying to get you to sin. It, you know, it's like, oh, just do this. It's going to be great. You know, this is going to solve everything. Sin. And the moment you sin, what does he do? He comes in with that condemnation. Oh, wow. Look at you. God can't use you. You're worthless. You're hopeless. You'll never be anything in the house of God. You've just ruined the plan of God for your life. Why? Because again, the strategy in getting you to sin was to cause you to break your confidence in your right standing with God. Because if you don't know your stance in righteousness, you will not move boldly forward in your life. You will shy back. You will, you know, second guess the plan of God, second guess what God wants for your life, second guess what God's doing in and through you. Why? Because, well, what if God reject me? What if God's mad at me, right? Why I remind people all the time on these programs, God loves you. He's not mad at you. And he has a wonderful plan for your life, because I know that Satan has worked overtime to try to convince people of the opposite, that God does not love them. He is mad at them and he has no plan for their life. Why? What is he trying to do? Break your confidence in your right standing with God. You are the righteousness of God. So what is righteousness? Well, the biblical definition of righteousness is a state of being in right standing with God. A state of being in right standing with God. Now, I love that it says a state of being, because we got to figure out how we got into this state of being in right standing with God. Because if we don't know how we got into it, then it'll be very easy for the enemy to convince us that we've lost it. But we got into this right standing with God, not because of performance, not because we did enough good things, or we didn't do enough good things, or we gave a certain amount, or we attended this thing. We got into that right standing in the eyes of God because of our position, listen, in Christ. In Christ, not apart from Christ, in Christ. Listen to 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God. How? Through Christ. So that we could be made right with God through Christ. That's what we got to remember. We are not in ourselves. We are not in a denomination. We are in Christ. No longer me, but Christ. No longer my desires, but Christ. So righteousness is not earned. Righteousness is a gift of that we receive by identifying with Christ, by remaining in Christ. That's why he said, listen, I'm the vine, you're the branches. You will do fine. You will grow. You will flourish. You'll produce fruit. You'll do all that you need to do as long as you stay connected to me. As long as you are abiding in me, you are going to be just fine. So, of course, what is the enemy working overtime to do? To convince you that you are disconnected from the vine and that you are nothing. But Christ is reminding us today, you have been made right, not because of what you've done, but because of what Christ has done. And as long as you remain in Christ, you are in right standing with God. You might be saying, but Pastor, you don't know about my past. You don't know about my sin. You don't know about my mistake. Listen, if you are in Christ, you are in right standing with God. Right? You've messed up. Repent. Listen, he made that pretty easy. All you do is come before God and say, I repent. I turn from that. I'm not going back to that. Why? Because I'm in Christ. Right? So we are in Christ. That has earned us right standing with God. It's not earned. It's a gift. It's not achieved. It's simply received. It's not based on behavior. It's based on belief. Here's what righteousness means. It means that you are no longer on trial before God. Some of you need to know that. You are no longer on trial before God. Yesterday, we had a call for salvation at Hope City Church, and 6 or 7 people responded to that, and I was just reminded as we did that of how our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Bible says. Like, you know what that means? Is when you receive Christ, you are made right in his image. You become in right standing with God. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, which means you are no longer on trial before God. It means you accepted the verdict of the trial that took place 2,000 years ago at the cross. And when the gavel came down on the cross and the full judgment of God was poured out on Jesus, it's like you signed up and said, I'll receive that verdict, that he took my penalty and my sin, that I could participate in the great exchange of that verdict, which means I become co-heirs in Christ, that I become the righteousness of God in Christ because of what happened at the cross. So what am I saying? The gavel has already fallen. The verdict is not guilty because Jesus took the payment. He took the punishment on Calvary's cross. So quit living like heaven is in debate over you. Quit living like the enemy has some kind of leverage on you. Listen, you're like, well, you know, but I got saved and then I messed up and you don't understand. And how can God forgive that? Listen, when you got saved, or actually when Jesus died on the cross, all of your sins were future sins, right? Like they were all out in the future, but he saw them and still forgave them. So there's nothing you could do, nothing you have done that could cause God to love you less. I want you to think about Paul here for a second, because I think he's such a great example of this stance in righteousness. If you know a little bit about Paul's background, you know that he was a persecutor of Christians. That was his full-time assignment, was to persecute God's people. And you can look through the scripture. He was present at the stoning of Stephen. He was there watching it happen. He, at one point in scripture, I think it's 1 Timothy 1, he calls himself the chief of all sinners, persecuting Christians, was there when Stephen was stoned, right, to death. He identified at one point, he said, I am the chief of sinners. But I want you to see what happens here in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2, where Paul says, receive us, listen to this, we have wronged no man, we have corrupted no man, and we have defrauded no man. Like, wait, what? Paul, you were the chief of sinners. You were there when Stephen was stoned. You were working full time to just persecute Christians, the people of God. And now Paul says, we have, receive us, we have wronged no man. Is Paul confused? Has he forgotten where he came from? No. I believe that Paul is saying this because he refused to let his past actions define his present identity in Christ. Let that sink in for a minute. He says, we have wronged no man. Well, of course, in reality, yes, you have wronged many men. Yes, you have killed and persecuted many men. So why would he stand there in boldness and declare, we have wronged no one? I believe because he identifies as a new creation, a new creature in Christ. And he says, listen, I refuse to let my past actions define this present identity in Christ. He wasn't lying. He was speaking as a new man in Christ, in the righteousness of God. He aligned his words with what Jesus did, not what he did before Jesus found him. This is not denial. It's faith-based identity transformation. Faith-based identity transformation. Listen, to maintain your righteous stance in God, we must learn to silence every voice that tries to drag us back into the identity of what Jesus already died to destroy. As I told this story many times, but there was somebody who was come to me, and they were struggling in the realms of pornography addiction. And I said, listen, you need to know who you are in Christ, because the enemy has convinced you that that's who you are. That's what you're addicted to. You will never be free from that. And I said, anytime you view material like that, you know, typically after you're done, I know you, there's a sense of guilt and condemnation that comes. I said, I want you just to begin to declare, I am the righteousness of Christ. And it's going to seem like the strangest, weirdest thing, how you could just have looked at sinful content, but then declare, I am the righteousness of Christ. But it wasn't very long later that this man came back and said, I'm free. I'm free. It's broken off of me. Why? Because what I was trying to work is to get him to see that he's not what he's viewed. That activity is not him, that he is the righteousness of Christ. And eventually it began to sink in. But that's not who I, it was changing his identity. It was faith-based identity transformation. You are not your past mistakes. You are not what you are addicted to. You are not that problem. You are not what they have said about you. You are not what has held you bound or captive. That is not who you are. You are who Christ has said in his word that you are. You are currently in right standing, right in the eyes of God. Now, you can have faith on what Christ has said, or you can have faith of what the enemy is speaking over you. Oh, Pastor, I would like to believe that, but you don't understand. I'm ABC. I'm this, I'm that, you don't know what I've walked through. Listen, you're going to have faith in one thing or the other. You're going to have faith in your past, or you're going to have faith in what the word of God has said about you. I would rather choose the latter. I would rather choose to believe that I am what Christ says I am. So to maintain this righteous stance, we must silence every other voice that tries to drag you. That's why I was teaching this young man that. It's when there's other voices come in and says, see, you're not free. See, God hasn't, you know, I am the righteousness of Christ. And eventually, come on, their identity of who they are, their position in Christ was so sealed on the inside of them that nothing was going to move them off. Nothing was going to distract them. So listen, stop trying to earn what Jesus already gave. The temptation for us is to always try to work for what we've already received. Listen to Galatians 3:3. It says, how foolish can you be? I love the NLT version. That just says it to the point. How foolish can you be after starting your new lives in the Spirit? Why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Come on. How foolish can you be after starting your new lives in the Spirit? That's why he says you have become born again. Born again. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. After starting your new lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human efforts? Listen, every time you try to earn righteousness, you insult the cross. You're saying that what Christ did at the cross was not enough for me. I understand he lived a pure, spotless life. I understand he went to the cross. I understand he paid the price, but it wasn't good enough for me. Come on, I'm not righteous because of my own actions. I'm righteous because of the finished work of the cross. God does not look at me through the lens of my last failure. He's looking at me through the lens of the blood of Jesus Christ. So come on, you got to start making some declarations over your life today. You got to begin to say, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I receive the gift of righteousness. I will not bow to shame, guilt, and condemnation. I am clean, pure, and holy, not because of me, but because of Jesus. I am not what I did. I am who he says I am. Come on, you got to begin to speak that over. You got to know that I am the righteousness of Christ. I am accepted. I am blood bought. I am redeemed. I am a new creation. I am a royal priesthood. He called me out of darkness and into his marvelous light. That's who I am. I'm not what culture says I am. I am who Christ has said I am. Listen, that's why we shouldn't be surprised when people fall away. Why? Because this warfare is real. This emotional pull, this emotional warfare is very real of the enemy trying to convince you that you're done, you're hopeless, you're helpless, But Jesus said, as long as you abide in me, as long as you stay connected, come on, you're going to produce, you're going to grow, you're going to flourish. Just never depart from the vine. Don't let culture pull you out of your stance in Christ. Come on, I declare over you that you will not backslide into shame, but you will rise in righteousness. You will stand your ground. You will reign in life through the gift of being in right standing with God. There's that, it's a secular song, but I will stand my ground. Sometimes we got to get that stance. I'm standing my ground in who I am in Christ. Nothing is going to be able to move me. Nothing is going to shift me. Nothing is going to pull me off of who I am in Christ. I know who I am. But I ask you today, do you know who you are in Christ? Come on, I woke up this morning and it was one of those mornings and I thought, Lord, I don't feel like this today. I just want to stay in bed all day. And come on, we all have days like that. I came into the office here and I would be studying for this. And I thought, you know what? A ploy of the adversary. Remember, when you wake up in the morning, all of hell shakes. Why? Not because that you're some big thing, but because Christ lives on the inside of you. It's another day for you to enforce the kingdom of God in your domain. It's another day for you to drive back the powers of darkness that have been trying to come over your family and your household and your city and your church and your nation. It's another day for you to rise up in the knowledge that you are the righteousness of God and tell hell that these gates will not prevail against me and my house. It's another day for you to claim victory over every area of your life. It's another day for you to walk in full boldness of what God has for you. So yeah, when you wake up in the morning, all hell goes, oh no, not them. But come on, if he can get you convinced and believing that you are not in right standing with God, he knows he doesn't have to do much. You're going to walk around with your head hung down in shame. You're going to walk around in fear, believing that God's mad at you. You're going to walk around, you know, just hoping that God just even looks your way, hoping that God will forgive you. Just, you know, but you're not going to do anything. You're just existing. But he knows if you get this, if you get a right understanding of who you are in Christ, your righteous stance, that you are in this moment in right standing with God. You are the righteousness of Christ, bought with a price. Then you're going to approach your day different. You're going to hold your head up high. You're going to square your shoulders. Come on, you're going to go into that interview in full confidence, knowing who you are in Christ. And if that's not the right open door, I'm not worried. I'm not in fear. I'm not fretting. I'm not anxious. Why? Because if that's not the door, come on, God will open a door for his righteous that no man can shut. Oh, he'll close every door that's not meant for me. Why? Because he loves me. I'm his beloved. I've been bought with a price. I'm a blood-bought, redeemed child of the Most High God. The Bible says there's that great cloud of witnesses surrounding me right now, cheering me on, saying, go, enforce the kingdom. I have goodness and mercy chasing me from behind. There's a fiery hedge of protection around my life. Under his wings am I hidden. It's like Psalm 91 says, 1,000 can fall at my left hand and 10,000 at my right, but it will not come nigh my dwelling. Why? Because I am in right standing with God. I am the righteousness of God. Now listen, when I begin to believe that, when I begin to say that, and I begin to declare that, what happens? I expect, my faith begins to rise and elevate, and I expect good things. I expect it to be a good day. It doesn't mean there won't be trials and situations, but I expect God to work it in my favor. My car might break down. Come on, but I expect God to turn it around for my blessing. I expect blessing. I expect favor. I can walk around with a cheerful disposition. Why? Because I know who I am in Christ. And come on, I hope today, as we start this new week out, I don't know what kind of hell came against you last week. I don't know what your weekend looked like. I don't know what you woke up into this morning. but hold your head up high, square your shoulders, and you let every devil of hell know. Come on, I'm staying connected to the vine. I know who I am in Christ. I am a blood-bought, redeemed child of God. And today I am on mission to enforce the kingdom of God in my domain. I will not back down. I will not back up. I will not crawl back into the pit of shame and regret and fear. But I will rise up and step up in boldness and take back what Christ died to give me. So come on, I declare over you today a spiritual boldness that no one can take. Spiritual fire on the inside of your belly that no one can stand against. No power of hell can put out. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, I hope this helped you start your week right. All this week, we're going to be talking about this stance in righteousness and who we are in Christ, because we need it. We need to know who we are. We need to know what Christ died to give us and accept nothing less than that. In Jesus' mighty name, thank you so much for being with me. It's been a blessing, and I look forward to seeing you tomorrow right back here on Good Morning Live. Now, remember, God loves you. He's not mad at you, and he has a wonderful plan for your life. Bye-bye for now.